Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour. Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle, halfway home with you, taking you up until 10 o'clock tonight on 92.9 The Game. Great conversation about the Falcons tonight. We'll take more of your calls later in the show at 404-726-0929. Do you think they're a legit playoff contender right now? Go vote on the poll as well at C. Thomas Radio. Yes, they're ready, or no, we need to see more. But right now on the WadeFord.com hotline, going to shift gears for just a couple of minutes and talk with one of our favorites, Bill Bender, senior writer for the Sporting News. Bill, hot take, or is there something there? Joel Klatt comes out today and says, quote, Penn State needs to start their coaching search with Nick Saban. You buying that even remotely?
I mean, that's going straight for the top, right? I don't know. I think there's so many names that you could attach to that list, and it's easy to start. I mean, yeah, you call and say, hey, are you interested? If not, I think you would have to look at the usual suspects, right? The Matt Rhule, Kurt Cignetti, Eli Drinkwitz, I find interesting. Manny Diaz. That's the list. And the thing about it is, the guy that takes this job is going to be, a guy that definitely is probably going to be a Power Four coach. I don't think you can get it go any lower than that.
What about Lane Kiffin? I think it would be an interesting fit, but he certainly has the pedigree.
Well, I think Lane Kiffin's interesting a lot of places. And the hard part here is, isn't he a guy that would be a fit at Florida? If that popped open, there's a lot of rumors about Billy Napier this week. He's going to have to dispel that. And the other end of it is, he's built Ole Miss into a – they're undefeated, number five in the country. So why would you go somewhere else where they're maybe not number five in the country?
Speaking of which, Georgia gets Ole Miss this weekend. We'll get into that in a little bit. But what did you make of all the – there was a lot of shenanigans in the Georgia-Auburn game. What did you make of the touchdown, no touchdown, and then what did you make of timeout gate with Kirby Smart? Listen, I love Kirby. Obviously, two national championships, best coach in college football. But come on. I mean, that was not his best look.
It has produced some memorable memes. There's no question. There's no doubt about that. Particularly the I saw one where it was like, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, and they were making a timeout sign. I thought that was pretty funny. I think Kirby, obviously, that was a tough game. The controversial calls aside, what I took away from it, though, is Gunnar Stockton made some plays in a very tough environment, right? That they were able to pull out that win. Everybody knows the Jordan-Hare Stadium has this the way about it. It's a tough place to win. So I think they made the plays necessary to win. The spread looks a little funny this weekend. I think it's going to be an all-out great football game against Ole Miss.
Yeah, I thought it was – I mean, I don't want to say insanely high and be hyperbolic, but very high. I mean, kind of close to it considering the close calls that Georgia's had this season. And, Bill, oh, yeah, what happened last year as well. A couple of other games I want to get into with you. LSU Vandy. We know Vandy's been, to call them pesky or spunky, might be disingenuous to how well they've played. I know they got the loss, obviously, but do you give Vandy a chance at home against LSU?
Well, I think so. I mean, they're favored. And the interesting part of this game is kind of how every weekend in the SEC is interesting, that you have this Vanderbilt offense that can obviously put up a ton of points. And then you have LSU with a top 15 scoring defense. And both of these teams are playoff hopefuls, and they can't afford to lose this game. You can't in terms of the playoff race. If you want to get to 9 or 10 wins, 10 wins probably required to get the playoff. So I think it adds to the intensity. Vanderbilt obviously has a very long losing streak against you, and that makes it interesting as well. So I think it's going to be a really fun game. I like the Tigers to win, but wouldn't be surprised if Diego Pavia and company were able to get a win there.
Speaking of surprises, are you surprised that Notre Dame's favored by almost 10 points against USC at home?
A little bit, because I think that USC offense is scoring a ton of points. Jaden Mayav has obviously been very good. And, you know, this USC offense scores a lot of points around the running game. Mekhi Lemon's one of the best running receivers in the country. They torched Michigan last week. That was kind of eye-opening to me, especially coming off the Illinois loss. The Big Ten travel thing is real, but this is a rivalry game. Is it a stretch to me to say, okay, like if Georgia loses to Ole Miss, Georgia still could go 10-2 and get the playoff. I think the loser of USC Notre Dame is probably out. I know USC would have two losses, but they still got to play Oregon.
So if I told you that Tennessee going to Tuscaloosa, it's going to be a 38-35 final, you agree or you disagree?
38-35 final either way?
Either way. I think this is going to be one of the biggest, more fun shootouts of the season with the way those two offenses can go.
It'd be a redo of Georgia-Alabama at that point. Be a lot of fun to see. And to your point, I mean, want to see how Joey Aguilar gets after it against this Alabama defense. And then on the other side, Ty Simpson, can he throw the ball down the field against this Tennessee defense? I mean, and is Jim Miller going to play? There is so much at that game. I think they're going to get up and down. If it is 30, to your point, if it finishes 38-35, yes, Tennessee won that football game. Is that a stretch?
No, especially with, you know, the fact that we saw there is a – I know he's been red hot, but, you know, Florida State did lay out a formula to make Ty Simpson look, I mean, at least human. He's looked superhuman at times since then. But, you know, if a team, you know, with Tennessee and the way that they got into it with Georgia, they're battle-tested right now. They almost won that football game. So I think if maybe they can tap into some of that and really hit the film study this week, maybe they're the team that can, you know, slow Ty Simpson down. You know, Bill, I've heard some people say he should be in the Heisman consideration, Ty Simpson.
Well, we did our midseason All-Americans today, and he's our quarterback. You know, I mean, the one interception going on the road and beating Georgia and beating Missouri and putting up the numbers that he's put up, I think it's definitely something to watch. So he's definitely a guy that we look at, and going into the second half of the season, he'll have those stages. The Heisman race to me is still very wide open, though. You know, whether it's him, Fernando Mendoza, I still like Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State. He's scoring a touchdown every week. So there's a lot of guys involved in that race that could win it.
Should Reuben Bain be in that mix?
I mean, why not? He's a really good – Arvell Reese at Ohio State, the best player on the best defense in the country right now. Reuben Bain, he just has been amazing. So, and we'll get to see Reuben get a spotlight Friday night against Louisville in what should be a fantastic game.
Talking all things college football with our good buddy Bill Bender, and make sure you check him out in the sporting news. Speaking of that one, we've been talking a lot about maybe some overhyped and oversized spreads. 13.5, I know Miami's been great this season, but Louisville can pack a punch, and I think that game's going to be a lot closer than that. What do you think?
I do, too. I think that Louisville running game is very good. You know, Jeff Brohm has played the underdog rule. But not to perfection, but, you know, they're a tough underdog. And, you know, every time we make assumptions, and I'm guilty of this too, you start to project teams to go undefeated and playoff and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, they're not. So I think it's definitely something to keep in mind. I like Miami to win the game, but I think it'll be a little bit tighter. The one I wanted to ask you about is, you know, what's the reaction down there? I'm a little surprised that Georgia Tech's an underdog this week. I understand some of the logic because Duke can throw it around with Mensah, who has a bunch of touchdown passes. But isn't Georgia Tech going to slow them down with the running game?
I think it's purely because the game is not here. I think if the game was here, I think Tech would be probably a slight favorite. I think people are looking at Georgia Tech right now, and they're saying, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Because this is so surreal, what's going on right now on the flats and the job that Brent Key's doing. I think there's just a cautious optimism from the fan base and from the media right now. And they're looking at it like, Bill, let's make no bones about it. Georgia Tech is a better football team than Duke, and they absolutely should win this game. But I think to have any out to give yourself, oh, this might be a trap game. They got a quarterback. Duke is better than you think. 3-0 in the ACC, same record as Georgia Tech. I think it's one of those, we want to protect our hearts almost situation going on with Georgia Tech. But I'm sure you agree. But in my mind, there's no doubt who the better football team is. It's Georgia Tech.
I have them winning, and that's why I was a little surprised by that line. There are some funky lines this week, especially with some underdogs, and we're at that point in the season where you see some teams lose those type of games. But I just look at that Yellow Jackets team. I think they're very good, and I like the toughness around them. They've got three guys in the top 15 in the ACC in rushing yards, led by Haynes King. So I definitely think they're in this game. The pressure will amp up, like you say, when you have a magical season and some don't really believe, but it's hard not to believe in what Brett Key's been able to accomplish there.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be another game, unfortunately. You know, we've begun to parse down the games that Haynes King is going to have to go full Haynes King. And unfortunately, I think this is one of them. So it's like adding, you know, it's like a running back, essentially. You know, you only get so many hits. So I think this is going to be another game because of the quarterback on the other side that he's going to have to go 150%. And that's really the only speed he knows anyway. But this is another one of those games, you know, you're not just going to be able to roll the ball out there and, you know, hang 35 on them. They're going to have to compete and fight. I think Georgia Tech is better, but Haynes King is going to have to bring his A game on the road, which I think is going to be a really good environment for a noon kickoff. But I just think I agree with you at the end of the day that Tech is just the better team. All right, before we get out of here, A&M, I'm not sure what to make of them. I don't doubt their talent. We know the resources are poured in there, but I think it's Bill, it's a little bit of what we just talked about with Georgia Tech. Like, are you waiting for the other shoe to drop with A&M because of their history, or you think this is a legit squad?
Well, I like the defense. Cassius Howell's kind of a game breaker for them. And then they've like kind of the same formula as Georgia Tech. They're very physical running the ball. Marcel Reed's played well. He adds to the running game. And the big thing with them is the schedule. You don't play Ole Miss, Alabama, Tennessee, or Georgia. So, like, we're expecting them to win the 10 games. And they have that victory against Notre Dame in their back pocket. So it makes them a really dangerous team in this playoff race. And if the SEC were to get the five teams in the playoff and Texas A&M takes care of business in some of these road games, they'll definitely be in the mix. One thing to watch with them is they play at LSU next week. And LSU's really good at night. That'll be the game to circle for the Aggies. I think they take care of business this week, and we'll see if they can get to that 10-win mark. They're playing Arkansas this week, though, and you know that rivalry. They get after each other a little bit, so none of their games are taken for granted. I think that goes into the perception.
Yeah, Arkansas, unfortunately, they don't have the hogs this year, pun intended there. They're built, unfortunately. We appreciate the time, as always. Looking forward to chatting soon.
Hey, I always enjoy the conversation. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that is Bill Bender, senior writer there of the Sporting News. Make sure you check him out there. Yeah, the A&M and Georgia Tech, I feel like they're kind of like in similar boats in the different conferences where, you know, the excitement is almost hampered a little bit by this clutching of the pearls by, like, are we this good? Are we really this good? Or is it going to be another year where the shoe drops and it's like, ugh, we got to number 4 in the country. We got to number 10 in the country. And then the bottom fell out. I don't think so. I think both teams are going to be in it for the long haul and we'll have a lot to say at the end. All right, good stuff there from Bill Bender. When we get back, let's hear from Coach. He joined Dukes and Bell today. Raheem Morris exclusively on 92.9 The Game. It's Chris Thomas tonight.